Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today's topic is engaged citizens. Or really, we could say, how do we get an informed audience for the critical issues Alaskans are about to vote on? In the upcoming election cycle this August and November, we Alaskans will be asked to vote on raising the minimum wage, legalizing marijuana, whether our current oil tax structure should change, and whether the Alaska legislature should be the authorizing body for big mining operations like Pebble. We do this at a time when voting numbers are at an all-time low, when the audience, if it's paying attention, seems to be as polarized as the media they listen to. It can feel a little hopeless, as if the issues are too complicated, or our ability to get to facts we can agree on is so hard that we fail. Here in the studio today, we've got two committed citizens and activists, writer and businessman Andrew Halcrow. Welcome, Andrew.
Hello.
So glad to have you. And writer and lawyer Cliff Groh. Hi, Cliff.
Hi, Kathleen.
And I told these guys when I met them on the phone that they both have beautiful voices and it was going to be really fun to listen to them for an hour. So they each represent organizations that believe in community engagement. Both groups are offering public forums in July and August, and Alaska Common Ground is offering an all-day workshop in October with the idea of informing citizens about the facts on at least some of these important issues. We invited them here today to talk about why, in such an age of distraction, money-influenced campaigns, and polarized debate, do they still believe in the public forum? They'll tell us how they plan to organize theirs and how they hope to deliver nonpartisan discussion. I'd especially like to welcome our listeners and invite them to share their own sense of civic engagement. Will you vote in August and November? Do you feel informed? Where do you go for your information? How often do you ask questions about a topic you don't understand? And who do you ask? So we're going to throw out those phone numbers for our listeners. We've got Cliff Groh in the studio and Andrew Halcrow. If you're in Anchorage, you can give us a call at 550-8433. Or outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we can also take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So welcome, gentlemen. I'm so happy to have you here. And I hope to come away more informed than I was. So let's introduce everybody. You both have those kind of names that everybody goes, oh, yeah, sure. Andrew, I looked at the Chamber of Commerce. You're the president of the Chamber of Commerce right now. But you've also been in the Alaska House of Representatives. You ran for governor in 2006. And with the Chamber, it seems to me like you've brought a real engagement influence there. Tolerance and talent was one of the things that I saw on the website, and I thought, you had brought some of that to the Chamber. I always think of the Chamber as worrying about business. Is business healthy? But I feel like you've expanded what a healthy business looks like.
Well, and that's been part of my goal over the last 15 months of being in this job, is dialoguing with business to tell them that a healthy community is a strong business environment. You can't have a healthy business unless you have a stable workforce. You can't have a good workforce unless you have a good education system, you have strong, safe neighborhoods, you have affordable housing. So all of these things filter into what kind of a workforce and what type of community you have. Mm-hmm. And currently, when you look out over the horizon, there's a lot of companies donating to nonprofits that are leveraging their assets. All of those nonprofits are working on ways to improve the community. So that's another connection that my members have with a healthy community translating into a healthy economy.
So no man is an island.
That is correct. Well, in every man has to live by public policy, and that public policy can be either good or bad.
Right. We're going to live by it one way or the other. So let me bring on Cliff. Cliff, let's see. You did a whole lot during the Stevens trial. You're in the blogosphere just like Andrew has been, although, Andrew, your blog is gone now, right?
Yes.
I could not find any trace of it. So if you used to read it, it's now gone. And maybe it'll come back someday.
It's out there in the ether.
Yeah, somewhere, but you can't find it yet. But Cliff, is still out there. You covered Ted Stevens' trial. You've been covering and engaged in public policy and revenue issues your whole career. You're a lawyer. You're also a writer.
Sure. And I'm also lucky enough to be chair of Alaska Common Ground since last month, an organization for which I've had the privilege to serve on the board close to 20 years. Alaska Common Ground is a nonprofit organization. It's dedicated to engaging Alaskans, businesses, citizens generally, people from all walks of life in the 49th state. And we try to get people to engage in respectful conversations about major public policy issues that face Alaska. Organization is founded in 1991. and tries to look at issues in an in-depth way and get people talking to each other, engaging with each other, and premised on the belief that facts matter, but ideas and values matter. And it's important to distinguish between facts and opinions and try to learn, have Alaskans learn what they can and make informed decisions both at the ballot box and also generally in their lives in terms of thinking about these major public policy issues.
Yeah. So the reason we're having you both on is your organizations, Alaska Common Ground and the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, are hosting some forums to, I think, inform voters. I know, Andrew, on the phone, you said we're going to be presenting these nonpartisan, and obviously you've already said that you're going to do that. So let's start with Andrew and talk a little bit about your forums and how you're going to organize them so that you do get both sides. And I've got the list here if you need it, if you want to refer to it. No. but let's talk about what you're going to offer and how people can take advantage of it.
Sure. And just to start with, the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce is nonpartisan. We don't endorse candidates. We don't do any kind of legislative scorecards. Some groups do that. We're very independent. We feel that promoting both sides of the story and both sides of the issue allows our members to take that information and kind of decide for themselves. This summer, for the next 6 weeks, pretty heavy political forums. And the forums are really a part of our Make It Monday forums. Every Monday, we have a luncheon at the Denina Center. So for the next 6 or 7 weeks, they're going to be focused on politics. We'll have the Democratic Lieutenant Governor's debate. We'll have a forum on legalizing marijuana. We'll have a debate on ballot initiative one, the oil tax repeal. We'll have a U.S. Senate primary debate on August 11th. So, and then when we get into the general, we'll have a similar schedule.
Okay.
And the idea is just to present the candidates to our membership. And as what happens most every forum, we have politicians. People can mill around afterwards and ask questions that maybe they didn't get answers to during the lunch.
Okay. And we talked just before the show opened. You basically have luncheons and people either buy their lunch or they at least buy a cup of coffee. So for the price of a cup of coffee, you can listen to some of these discussions if you want. Cliff, let's talk a little bit about your forum schedule and what's coming up.
Well, thanks, Kathleen. Alaska Common Ground is holding four forums this summer on the ballot propositions on four consecutive Wednesday evenings, starting on July 23rd. We're having a forum on the oil tax referendum, the repeal referendum, which is the question of the repeal of Senate Bill 21 or More Alaska Production Act, is its other name. On July 30th, we're having a forum on the initiative to increase Alaska's minimum wage. On August 6th, we're having a forum on the initiative to tax and regulate the production, sale, and use of marijuana. And then in terms of our summer forums, the last one will be August 13th. We're having a forum on the initiative called Bristol Bay Forever. All these forums are in the Wilda Marston Theater at Anchorage's Lusac Library.
Wilda Marston, okay.
Right, and they run on Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m., those four summer forums. In addition, as you've, I think, earlier alluded to, we're also having an all-day forum on Saturday, October 4th, on the important question of Alaska's fiscal future. Some people, when I say that, say, Cliff, is Alaska going to have one? And I say,
what
I sure hope
future?
So.
We better figure this out.
So that runs all day from 9 to 5 p.m. also in the Wilda Marston Theater at the Lusac Library.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, I noticed that you're both doing the oil tax repeal. So I was going to say, Andrew, do I need to go to yours? And Cliff, do I need to go to yours to feel like I've gotten both sides of it? Or how are you going to deal with this? Let's start with Andrew.
Well, the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce took a position on opposing the repeal of SB 21. So we took a position that our members should vote no on August 19th. And the reason for that is in our member surveys, that was one of the number one concerns. Their number one legislative priority was oil tax reform. So we have already taken a position. However, with regards to our forum, we will present both sides. We will present the vote no side and the vote yes side. Both sides have been invited, and they'll both be able to give their pitch in front of our membership. So although we've taken a clear position, we're going to provide both sides of the story.
So who are those people going to be? Do you know yet? Are you still working on it?
We're still working on it. I from what I understand, the vote yes side might be Senator Wilikowski or somebody else from their side. I think the vote no side will be former Mayor Maystrom or former Governor Knowles. Not quite sure.
Okay. So, I mean, when I think about the chamber, I do think that it makes decisions based on business. And so even though you're nonpartisan, your membership has, I mean, they're somewhat like-minded individuals, maybe, although as Alaska's economic futures, you know, landscape changes, you know, the emphasis on entrepreneurship and new business and maybe some newer, younger members. I don't know. I just feel like if it's good for business, you guys are going to endorse it. If you think it's bad for business, you know, and that's a filter through which you put everything.
Well, and it is, because we are a business organization. We're a member-driven organization. Most of our policies, actually all of our policies and our positions are dictated by member surveys. Mm-hmm. So the board reacts to the member surveys and some of the concerns. They go through a committee process, sure, just like the legislative session. So we have a really strong vetting process. But you're right. The demographics in this community are changing. What I'm noticing is the newer members of the Anchorage Chamber are younger, more diverse, multicultural, dynamic, entrepreneurial, and that's going to be the growth in the next 10 to 15 years in this community. So it is reaching them, because it's in my impression that the smaller companies are really kind of the less involved, less engaged, because they're so busy. So those are the ones we make a special outreach to keep them informed.
Okay. And do you do everything by consensus? Or, I mean, do you have members who are in favor of repeal as well?
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
Okay. But the overall position is to maintain.
That is correct.
Okay, so Cliff, how are you going to deal with this one?
We're talking
the oil tax.
Sure. We have Alaska Common Ground is a nonpartisan organization that's not taking any position on these ballot propositions. And we obviously and will definitely have advocates from both sides on all four of these at all four of these forums and all four of these issues. On July 23rd, on the oil tax repeal referendum, we have State Senator Bill Welikowski, very much an advocate of a yes vote on the initiative, teamed with veteran Alaska economist Greg Erickson, both urging a yes vote. On the urging a no vote, very strongly, will be oil and gas policy consultant Brad Keithley, who's been going around doing some debates on this, who used to be an oil and gas lawyer here in Anchorage, teamed with another veteran Alaska petroleum economist, Roger Marks, and those two gentlemen will be on the no side. Moderating our forum on the oil tax repeal referendum will be Gunnar Knapp, a professor of economics and director of the Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska, Anchorage.
Okay. And will it be a debate over on the chamber side, or is it just a presentation? Or will they get to ask each other questions? Will there be questions from the audience, Andrew?
The marijuana forum is going to be just a forum. The ballot initiative one and the U.S. Senate will actually be really structured debates with a debate moderator, questions between candidates, just like the normal debate format.
Okay. And how about you, Cliff?
Well, we're going to have for differ a little bit, but in all our forums, we're going to both try to get the advocates on both sides who are experts to engage with each other and also give the public an opportunity to ask questions as well. So for the particularly for the oil tax referendum forum, we're going to have half or more of the forum will be devoted to the sides questioning each other.
Mm-hmm.
So and then toward the end, we'll have an opportunity for audience questions as well. I think that the marijuana initiative forum will be structured a little differently. It'll be very much aimed at getting the advocates on both sides to engage with each other and also have opportunity for audience participation as well.
That was the other one you're both doing, the legalizing marijuana. And in your case, you touched on that, Andrew. You said it's going to be more of a public forum.
It's going to be more of a public forum. We like to call it dueling PowerPoints.
Okay. Okay. All right.
We in the end hope to get past dueling PowerPoints, as I said, to try to get the sides to engage with each other as well as take questions from the audience.
Okay. If you've just joined us, we're talking. You know, we're in election season. Just get ready. You know, put on your seatbelt, because there's more of this coming. But today we invited Andrew Hockrow from the Anchorage Chamber on. and Cliff Grove from Alaska Common Ground, because both of them are offering a series of informational forums and debates really aimed at answering questions Alaskans have, so that when they do go to the polls, if they go to the polls, we hope they go to the polls, that they're informed. So let's see. I guess I want to throw out our phone numbers for our listeners. If you're in Anchorage, give us a call at 550-8433. You can ask these guys anything you want. They will answer your questions. If you're outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752, or we can take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. I kind of wanted to ask you guys, each of you, to sort of, what's your sense of how well we're doing as a civic population here in Alaska? I mean, it's fraught with our history and fraught with all kinds of things, but, you know, if you had to sum it up in a couple of sentences, how is our civic engagement in Alaska? And it may depend on the audience that you're most in front of. I don't know. So let's start with you, Andrew. What do you think?
I think our civic engagement, as far as community, I think it's strong. I think our civic engagement as far as politics, I think, is wanting. I think there needs to be more people, obviously, engaged. You look at the voter turnout in April with the municipal elections, even some years the primaries has a very low turnout. So I would argue that our public policy, our political engagement needs work. Mm-hmm. I'm probably more skeptical today than I ever have been in my life about public policy engagement, simply because of the turn it's taken, the environment, the high-pitched partisan environment, and the third-party money. I think it's very difficult for those like myself who are even politically involved to make sense of what's going on mm-hmm. with all of the third-party money. So I look at my members who don't have time to be involved in politics, and I'm wondering how they're going to sort out these different claims and attacks.
You're sort of empathetic then to the disengagement. I know I'm going to go to you too, Cliff, but we had Brooke Gladstone on the show, and she wrote the book, The Influencing Machine. And basically she said, this sticks with me, 80% of the voting population, she's just speaking generally across the country, is checked out. They're moderate, but they're just checked out. They think they've got more important things to do, she said. And I guess that's kind of, can we engage them? Can we deliver discussions about these topics that they can absorb or have the time to absorb? So Cliff, what do you think about how we're doing?
I think there's a segment of people in Alaska who are very interested in learning about public policy or actively engaged and care about it. This segment has tended to often involve people who have lived longer in the state, perhaps, and perhaps older than the median age. One thing the Alaska Common Ground has been trying to do is to reach out and build out from the more core group of people who care. It tended to be the most involved in going to the most public meetings, and try to reach out to more some of the changing demographic groups that Andrew has discussed, mm-hmm. and try to get more people involved, because I do think that there is a thirst and a hunger for understanding some important public policy issues. Alaska has to make big decisions. It's both obviously the questions that are on the ballot this year for voters to actually decide, but also the larger question of how the state deals with the decline of oil production, something the state has relied on for decades, as it goes down, and for people to come to grips with the fact that we're going to talk a lot about it at that October 4th forum, for example, with under any scenario for production or under any regime of taxes people could think of, there's still going to be a decline in oil production. And so the state has to figure out a way to address that, both in terms of the state government, in terms of local governments, in terms of the state economy as a whole.
What could possibly fill that gap? Well, I mean, it's been so huge, you know.
Well, as a former lawmaker who was in the legislature when oil was $10 a barrel and we had a $1 billion budget deficit, there is nothing.
Mm-hmm. Or it may take a lot of things for people. And it's the state is going to face transformation. And as I said, in terms of the government, in terms of the economy, and people have to think about how that transformation is going to be, how difficult or wrenching it's going to be, and what kind of state they want as it moves forward, mm-hmm. as that transformation occurs.
What kind of services they feel are most essential and ones that maybe we don't need that. I have a friend who's born and raised here, and he kind of shocked me one time when he said he had this fear that Anchorage was just going to dry up and blow away. And if Anchorage dried up and blew away, then the state. And he's not a pessimist. I mean, he's really. And another thing he's often said to me is limitations make you creative, you know. So that's where he draws his optimism from. But I guess I'm thinking, you know, when you say there's going to be a number of things that have to happen, we're talking probably taxation, but we're also talking new businesses, maybe knowledge economies. What things are you thinking about, Cliff?
Well, in terms of there's both a governmental response and sort of more, you know, economic responses or decisions made by individual citizens. But in terms of the government's responses, that there are a number of things that have occurred in Alaska all at the same time that can't all survive, right? Mm-hmm. In the sense of that the state obviously has a high per capita budget that's been growing in recent years. Over the past 10 years, generally, the line's been up. Something that I don't think is widely understood. Also, obviously, the state has some, you know, additional facts about it that make it unusual. A very large savings account in the permanent fund, annual distributions from it, something that I actually helped create when I was working for the state legislature, the permanent fund dividend. And then, of course, this is the only state in the United States that has no general statewide tax, either a state income tax or state sales tax. Obviously, a number of states have both. Alaska's the only one that has, you know, neither. And right. So it's sort of hard to imagine that all those things will stay true and that there may be need to be, there's going to be a transformation in a number of ways, and people have to think about in terms of the values that would shape the decisions that would go into making those changes, and what kind of Alaska they're personally interested in having at the other end.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like we all need to be walked through, we all need to get on the same page, you know, and part of it is, I mean, I wanted to ask you guys what you think about the changing media landscape here in Alaska and, of course, across the country. We used to have newspapers that thought they were invulnerable. They thought they'd be, and we've seen that change. And we've seen the arrival of many, many more voices. Do you think that's leading to an audience that understands the issues more, or maybe an audience that hears all these disjointed points of view and really doesn't really have a clue? You know, what do you think? You both participated in the media, so what do you think?
I would say that's one of the, it's surprising, but yet it's not surprising. You think about the explosion in social media. You think about the explosion in how easy it is for us to communicate that has advanced over the last 15 years. And you think, okay, we're improving our communication skills. We've adopted things like Facebook and Twitter and all these ways to let us communicate. And at first you would think, well, that's great because there's more information out there and people will do the heavy lifting and look at it. But the problem is there's so much polluted information mm-hmm. out there. And you go through some of the blogs and you're clearly reading biased information. It's not objective. And there's so many of those on both sides of the oil popping up that I think it's actually more difficult for people to make to look at media and figure out what's right and what's not. I mean, there was just recently a study that was released, a national study, I think by the Pew Institute, mm-hmm. That talked about media and where people get their information. And I think that was very telling. So if you're conservative, you listen to conservative channels. If you're liberal, you listen to liberal channels. And that doesn't do anything to foster a better understanding.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Cliff?
I think it's easier to sort of go off what Andrew said. It's easier to cocoon now. People mm-hmm. talk about sort of cocooning
check
in their
mm-hmm.
house. So it's easier to cocoon in a more intellectual sense and only surround yourself with voices telling you what you already believe. Mm-hmm. And one of the advantages of having and benefits of having forums like the one that Alaska, the forums Alaska Common Ground is going to have this year, and also, as Andrew said, the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce is having, is to actually give people an exposure to the different arguments on both sides. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the arguments that they've always heard that they can, if they wanted to, have sort of going on in the background or either on their internet or over the airwaves around the clock for them, and to expose themselves to a wider array of viewpoints. And as I said, to both the facts and the opinions on the various sides, for example, of these ballot propositions.
Right. I'm just going to welcome a caller just because.
Sure.
Hi, Sam. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. What's your question?
I was wondering if anyone knew if the Governor Parnell had agreed to any debates this year.
I'm going to let, I don't know myself.
You don't know. Cliff doesn't know. How about you, Andrew?
We did
know?
Have a governor forum on the 28th of April. Governor Parnell did show up. He was there. Byron Mallott was there. Bill Walker was there. We anticipate he will engage in October. I think one of the reasons you're seeing now is there's a lack of engagement. Is he really has no primary opponent, and so there's really, from a political standpoint, the old saying is you don't do anything to hurt you unless you absolutely are put in that position. Uh-huh. And so, it's a game of keep away until the stakes are high, and then you show up during the general.
Yeah. Sam, I'm interested that you called in, and I'm curious what you think about civic engagement. You're interested enough to call. So how are you going into this election season? Are you reading? Are you talking to people?
I do. Yes, I do.
You sound young. So do you find that true of other people you know?
Yes, and I do think that in general, younger people are interested, or at least the ones that I know. But I agree with what they were saying, that the sides seem to separate off into themselves and talk to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. That's a sort of a grim note to say goodbye on, but thanks for calling in.
Well, one of the things I wanted to say, Kathleen, is when we stimulate these discussions, sometimes they are painful. We held the Anchorage Chamber decided to hold a debate in November on the plan that Scott Goldsmith put out, saying we couldn't spend any more than $5.5 billion. Well, we wanted to have not a debate. It was scheduled, but it really was kind of presenting both sides of the public. Because first off, from the chamber standpoint, we felt that the plan that came up with saying we're going to spend no more than $5.5 billion was unrealistic. And that's the problem that we've had from the last 15 years, because 10 years ago I participated in a legislative forum with Common Ground about the fiscal situation. And we said 15 years ago the same thing. Nothing is going to change until people feel pain, period. Mm-hmm. Because it's always somebody else's fault. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges in this state is when you drive down the new Seward Highway and you see Alaska State Trooper car, 92% of that is paid for by oil. 92% of the salary, 92% of the vehicle, same with road grader, same with... So there's a disconnect between what we're getting for free and what we're going to eventually have to pay for.
Well, I'm thinking just in the education session that we just went through, those parents were really engaged because they were worried for their children. And that does speak to that idea of, gee, when I see my world crumbling, when I think my kid isn't going to get a good education, I'm willing to put my shoulder into it. So, I mean, do you agree, Cliff, that it's when we're scared that we actually engage?
I agree, but I do think that people are getting more scared now, and that I have worked on these kind of issues in terms of the fiscal gap, or the, which also sometimes
over
called
the cliff.
Prudhoe Bay curve, yeah. Over the cliff, not just to promote my own name, but other people call it that too. Over now, it's 25 years and more. And when I, the last couple of years when I was trying to talk to people about this, they would essentially say, Cliff, go away, we're sitting on a bunch of money. And then about a year,
the savings account,
yeah, or the large amounts of money, mm-hmm. That the state was has in some billions in reserves, but we're going through them, as Scott Goldsmith has been pointing out recently, on the order of $7 million a day spending through the reserves, and more recently with some of the sharper budget battles that have been in the state legislature, people have started to pay more attention, mm-hmm. and care more, and sort of see that maybe, hey, all that stuff that people have talked about for years about the Prudhoe Bay curve, it's actually still out there. Mm-hmm. It's been delayed or put off more than people thought, but that reckoning is still going to arrive.
Yeah. We've got another caller, so let's bring her on. Hi, Karen. You're talking with Hometown Alaska.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
Earlier, you said something about that indicated, or at least to my hearing, an apathy on the part of the voters.
That might have been me, something about many voters being checked out.
Exactly. I have a good reason for the apathy of the voters, because sometimes I just want to forget it and not vote either, but then if I don't vote, I can't complain, and I like to complain. the problem I have with the candidates and what I believe the apathy is due to is the childish advertising and mudslinging by the candidates or their other parties. It always seems to be about the bad that the other candidate does. And And it ends up being a choice of the lesser of the evils,
mm-hmm.
because candidates simply seem to parrot what they think we want to hear instead of what they will do and can do or have done. It's childish and demeaning, and who wants a third grader in public office?
So let's go to our guests and see what they've got to say about that. Who wants to respond?
I'll take something. And I'll tell you why campaigns in today's day and age are all negative and all about what the other guy's doing or what he's not doing. And that's because all of the problems that these folks are running for office to fix are so hard and it's pain. And so no candidate wants to stand up and talk about Social Security overhaul or Medicaid overhaul or cutting the budget, because what they mean is you're going to pay more and get less. And no candidate wants to say that. Instead, they want to complain about maybe health care or something else, but they have no way to fix it because, let's face it, if these fixes were easy and without pain, they would have been done by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to take a little break, but you're listening to Cliff Groh of Alaska Common Ground and Andrew Halcrow from the Anchorage Chamber. Both groups are offering pretty extensive public forums to give voters a chance to come in informed on this election season. So I'm Kathleen McCoy, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today we're talking election season public forums so that voters have a chance to hear both sides of the issues. So there's something besides advertising to inform yourself with. We have Cliff Groh, chair of the Alaska Common Ground, and we have Andrew Halcrow, president of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Both of them are featuring forums in July and in August that are primed to give voters both sides of some of these hot issues coming up. So let's see. When we were on the break, we said, what should we pick up with? And we said, let's talk a little bit more about the forums that we're going into. And I thought maybe we'd talk about, would you like to talk about the legalizing marijuana and how you're going to deal with it?
In part, certainly we have on Alaska Common Ground as...
this is Cliff Groh.
Yes, chair of Alaska Common Ground. And our organization is holding a forum on August 6th, Wednesday evening, August 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Wilder Morrison Theater. Having knowledgeable experts on both sides discuss this important policy issue that will be on the ballot this year in Alaska. We're going to have Bill Parker, who's an initiative sponsor, former state legislator, and former deputy commissioner of corrections, along with Taylor Bickford of the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol in Alaska, to speak on the pro side, urging a yes vote. And urging a no vote will be Deborah Williams and Christina Wilson, who are both with the organization Big Marijuana, Big Mistake, Vote No on Two. There's a lot of arguments on both sides on this important issue, and I think it's important to air them, get, as I said, the experts to engage with each other in terms of the people urging a yes vote and the people urging a no vote, and also to take an opportunity for the public to ask their own questions and get their own questions answered about this important issue on the ballot this year.
And Andrew, how are you going to handle this one, and when is your date?
Our date for the marijuana initiative review is July 21st, noon to 1 at the Denina Center. It's a Monday. We will have the same pros and cons, fors and against, as Cliff said. There's really two groups that are established to kind of promote both sides, the Big Marijuana, Big Mistake. And then the second one is Strategies 360, who's handling the pro side. So we're basically going to follow the same format that Cliff's group and just simply try and provide as much information, unfiltered information, mm-hmm. as we can.
Okay. And so let's talk about some... Go ahead, Cliff.
Sure. And then we're also holding a forum on Wednesday, July 30th, on the minimum wage initiative, something that's an important public policy issue in this state and around the country that's been discussed also at, of course, the federal level and in other states. And that, as I said, will be on Wednesday evening, July 30th. And that will feature Alaska AFL's CIO Executive President Vince Veltrami, a union leader, arguing for a yes vote on the initiative, and UAA Professor of Economics Kyle Hampton on the no side. Mm-hmm. That forum will also offer an opportunity for people from the audience to ask their own questions about that important public policy question. And then finally we have, and this is the one that's being organized a little later in part because it just became clear it was going to be on the ballot.
Right, yesterday.
On August 13th, we're having a forum on the Bristol Bay Forever Initiative, which, as Andrew suggested earlier, is an initiative that really gets at, and you said, Kathleen, a point gets at questions about large-scale mining projects. It's really, even the sponsors would say, aimed at the much-discussed and controversial Pebble Mine proposal out in Bristol Bay.
Really important stuff.
Sure.
I want to throw out our phone numbers for people who have questions about these forums, or maybe if you have questions about who's going to present each side or whether they're truly going to be nonpartisan, please give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752 or hometown@alaskapublic.org. Maybe you can even tell these gentlemen what kind of questions you'd like to see get sure. answered at some yeah. of these forums. What's really burning in your mind about legalizing marijuana, or whether the oil tax structure should get changed, you know, or whether your minimum wage is high enough or not. So give us a call at 550-8433. Let's see, Andrew, have we covered your forums?
We have. And as Cliff said, as Cliff's group is doing, we're doing a minimum wage on
yes.
September 29th.
Okay.
So we'll have Vince, and we're working, trying to get Kyle Hansen there as well. Again, our forums, similar to Cliff's, are basically to present both sides and then let our members kind of sort out the facts.
Yeah. You know, after you have a forum like this, and Cliff, I know I see, when I look through the news clippings on you, you're often at forums, and I'm sure you've been there too. When these things end, do people linger in the aisles talking, and sort of do you see that they've been kind of roused into some discussion mode from the opportunities? And do people accept the facts? That's another question.
Well, you know, sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's part of the charm of this. But I do think that there is an engagement, and one of the many benefits is that you get to talk to other people before and after,
uh-huh.
and continue the conversation,
yeah.
and develop your mind and your thinking further. And these are events that allow people to think more clearly about these important issues. And it's sort of like some people say about the benefit of going to college. It's not just the classes that are helpful. It's talking to other students. Well, there's
right.
certain effect of a similar effect in the sense of going to these forums, talking to the participants and to the other attendees afterwards.
Yeah. I want to welcome Susan to the show. She has a question, a follow-up question for Andrew. Hi, Susan.
Hi, thank you. Just if he could clarify, or perhaps I just didn't understand your example of driving down the Seward Highway and seeing a trooper and how the car and his salary and et cetera was all from oil, that there was a disconnect that oil paid for that. And my thought is it's oil did pay for it, and it's a tax oil companies pay for, but the oil is ours, not theirs. They have to pay us to have that oil.
Sure. I don't want to get into a debate with you. Let me just explain what I mean. Oil contributes 92% of the money that the state spends, the discretionary income. So that means if you look at any services, whether you're looking at the Alaska State Troopers, whether you're looking at courts and corrections, fish and game, the court system, corrections, Department of Transportation, whatever function you're looking at, whether it's somebody driving a road grader or a trooper responding to an emergency, 92% of that service is being funded by oil. Now, I don't disagree that it's our oil. I think the Constitution clearly lays that out. but there are police, public safety, there are schools, there are courts, there are corrections, there are roads, and these have to be funded. And I would argue, as far as taxations, there's already taxes, there's production tax, there's property tax, there's severance tax, there's income tax. So the fact that they're providing 92% of the services, my comments aren't a debate. My comments are just simply the facts. And so when you start to reduce state spending and suddenly there's fewer troopers or you're having overcrowded prisons, this is because we're leaning on one dependent source of revenue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree with that. Thank you. And then I just wanted to say I understand that KSK is going to broadcast some of these forums.
Yes.
On the radio,
Susan,
so I like thank
you so much for bringing that up. We are going to be at both sides of these, both the agencies that are providing these forums, and you will be able to follow. It's called Addressing Alaskans, and you can watch for some of these forums to be aired if you can't be there in person. Cliff, you had a follow up. I'm sorry.
I do, and I think the question from your audience underscores sort of the importance of two of the forums that Alaska Common Ground is holding this year. On July 23rd, going at the question of what's the appropriate oil tax structure and what's the appropriate level of oil taxation for the state of Alaska. And that's the topic of that forum on ballot measure number one on Wednesday evening, July 23rd. And then on Saturday, October 4th, we're having a forum all day on, I think, what Andrew was trying to get at with his comment on the 92%, which is that the state is very heavily dependent on oil production. And under any scenario, in an entered tax regime or tax structure, the curve for oil production is going down. It's falling.
Everyone agrees.
Right. So how is the state and the economy, the business people, and everybody in Alaska going to address that? And that's going to be the topic all day on Saturday, October 4th.
Right, right. I'd like to welcome Bob to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how's it going this afternoon?
Just great. Glad you called in. What's your question?
Well, an informed voter base is an awesome idea. I really like it. And I'm wondering how both gentlemen measure the success of their forums, if it's in turnout, or if it's by how many times security has to be called to break up the arguments, or how they measure their success.
That's a great question, Bob. We'll start with you, Cliff.
Well, I think that turnout is one indication, but the other one is sort of the effect it has on people. Just like to continue the sort of the college or high school example, might have a small class that has a big effect on the people who go to it, mm-hmm. in terms of what they learn, how it affects their future life. And so we look for both quantity in terms of turnout, in terms of, and we obviously hope to get other media coverage. And, mm-hmm. just like, you know, Andrew works hard for his forums too to get
coverage
and
follow-up.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the effect and impact out in other ways. But also we look for sort of quality. And we really try, and one of the things that we really stress at our forums is, particularly on these summer forums and also on the October 4th forum, is to get people who know what they're talking about and who are experts in the field, as well as to get questions from the audience, mm-hmm. to try to give the people who either attend in person or listen online or maybe on TV or hear about it later, a real exposure to the best arguments and the best information that exists about a particular topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've established a number of different benchmarks to measure success. First one is, of course, attendance at forums and member feedback after forums. The third is web hits. We're creating a Get Out the Vote program. So we'll have specific areas of election information and links. So we'll judge success by that by the number of page hits. And the fourth is really the effectiveness of our overall Get Out the Vote initiative. This is the first year that the Anchorage Chamber's ever done a formal Get Out the Vote initiative. And so we're going to promote not only registration between now and July 18th, because you have to be registered a month before the primary, but the same in the general. So our benchmarks for success are going to be how these four components end up being received by our membership.
Mm-hmm. So, Bob, I'm curious. Are you going to come to these forums? Are you that engaged or are you that curious?
I'm able to. I'll listen to them either online or on the radio. I'm on the road quite a bit, so
mm-hmm.
Okay.
I wondered if you, when you think about these big issues coming before us, are there any that are especially puzzling or troubling, or you feel are so complicated you can't get a grasp on? We're talking about the oil tax reform. We're talking about minimum wage. We're talking about legalizing marijuana. Do any of them rise to sort of a peak for you?
As far as I have opinions on all of them, the one that's probably the most confusing for me is the oil tax reform. But I sure know a lot of folks on both sides of that fence. So I don't understand enough about the other ones. They're pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for your question, and we'll, hopefully you'll be in the ballot box and voting on Election Day.
Well, thank you for the program. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Let's talk a little bit about really facts and agreeing on the facts. I mean, you said we're getting the experts, but sometimes we have audiences that are able to dismiss people who actually have good information, partly because there's so much strong advertising. The climate is really, we've talked a little bit about it here. It's fairly, you could use the word toxic, but I don't especially want to use that word, but it's crowded. It doesn't agree. There's often little opportunity to follow up and get the resolution to the debate that's happening. What do you guys think about that?
Well, one way that we've tried to aim at that is, for example, on the oil tax debate, which I agree is one of the ones that's been the most controversial. In fact, Heavy, I just came from a luncheon presentation today on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
That one of the ways we're doing is that the moderator of the Last Common Ground forum on July 23rd on that ballot measure number one, Gunnar Knapp, Professor Knapp, is going to make a presentation in the beginning on agreed upon facts. And one of the most important facts that is not widely understood, in part because both the signs for the vote yes side and the vote no side are red. So that leads to some confusion, right?
Yeah.
But one of the things that Professor Knapp will point out at the beginning of that forum, I think will be helpful, is that a vote yes on that initiative would repeal the current oil tax structure known as Senate Bill 21, also known as MAP, or More Alaska Reduction Act, and reinstate the previous oil tax structure known as ACES, which is an acronym for Alaska's Clear and Equitable Share. And a vote no would keep the current tax structure. So I do think that the very beginning on that initiative, it's at referendum, it's helpful for people to understand what a yes vote means and what a no vote means.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also something to be said that will be helpful to explain a little about the history of oil taxes in Alaska, which has extended back decades and has been controversial and involved a lot of public fights in the past in the legislature and actually some voting before by the public.
Yeah. How about you, Andrew? What do you think about getting people to agree on the facts?
Well, I would say that the environment is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's only getting worse. And I think not only is the environment already toxic, but I think our public policy to some degree is making it even more toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And I would use the example of moving the municipal election date from April to November. And that to me is very, very troubling, simply because the local election by charter is supposed to be nonpartisan. And I've yet to find out how it protects a nonpartisan election by putting it down ballot from a very partisan election.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of the things we're doing is not encouraging good civil discourse. I think it's adding to this mess. I think we live in a soundbite environment where every public policy quip is like Twitter. It's got to be 160 characters or less, or it doesn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is nobody's paying attention to the facts and science. We have a real problem with that in public policy, is ignoring the facts and science and just simply adopting a position because it's a populist soundbite-driven position.
It's disturbing. I've got an email here. It's really directed at you, Andrew, and it's a bit has a political tilt to it. It says it's coming from Tom in Fairbanks. So hi, Tom in Fairbanks. Andrew seems even more moderate as a Republican now than he did when he was running for office. Does he agree with that? Does he feel he's more free now to fully express his opinions? Can a moderate Republican get elected in much of Alaska anymore? Well, what do you think, Kevin? There's a lot in there.
That is what I would call a political fastball, not a curveball, a fastball. Well, Tom, to answer your question, I've always considered myself a moderate Republican. Some of my fellow Republicans love Reagan. You know who I love is Eisenhower, because Eisenhower said the middle of the road is the most usable surface. Anything to the far right and the far left, and you're in the gutter. And Eisenhower was the last Republican president to balance the budget. He did all these great things without going into debt. And I think Eisenhower was a leader. And that's what I pattern my political behavior after, because there's certain issues out there. Society changes. Anchorage changes. The state changes. And you have either two options. You can ignore it and be left behind, or you can recognize the trends and lead. And part of the challenge that we've experienced in this state is state government and in the private sector have become so intertwined, almost like a double helix, that when you have these hiccups in state government, it affects the private sector. But As a total political package, I've always considered myself very moderate. I mean, my belief on government is that government needs to stay out of my bedroom and stay out of my boardroom, focus on the things they do best. And I think that was the original Republican belief. But now, you know, we're angry about the NSA or we're angry about government overreach. But when it comes to our private lives, we want government involved in dictating and defining. That to me is a disconnect. And if that makes me a moderate Republican, I'm a moderate Republican.
Cliff, do you agree he's a moderate Republican?
I express no views on that, but I accept to say that Andrew has well-honed political skills. I do want to say, follow on to one other point that Andrew made about the municipal elections, and I don't want to talk particularly about him, but the idea that he expressed. And one thing that Alaska Common Ground has tried to do throughout its more than 20-year life is to help people understand that it's not just elections that matter, but it's obviously what the legislative bodies do, what the people do in elected office that matters, but also it matters what the procedures are. What Andrew was talking about with the timing of this election is a procedural matter, which voters don't often care about generally, but often can have a big effect, as Andrew was pointing out.
Right, right, right. We've got another question from Joe Banta. So it came in through email. It says, please ask Andrew, I'm not sure he means Andrew, but please ask Andrew why the chamber is using Gunnar Knapp. Aren't you using Gunnar Knapp? Or is
it's the Alaska Common Ground.
I
mean, you know,
I don't know if you're using Gunnar Knapp.
We're using, the Alaska Common Ground is pleased and feels lucky to have Gunnar Knapp as the moderator for the debate on the oil tax referendum, because he, like Alaska Common Ground, has not taken a public position on the issue, is knowledgeable about public policy in the state as someone who's worked at Institute of Social and Economic Research at ICER for more than 30 years, and would be good at this kind of complicated, fact-heavy, and theoretical forum on that kind of issue.
So we're clear that the chamber is not having Gunnar Knapp.
No. Over the last year, we've really leaned on Steve Johnson, who's the debate coach at UAA, to come in because we really wanted Steve to be kind of the policeman, and he does a great job keeping candidates on track. So we're using Steve Johnson.
Okay. So let me follow up with this question, because actually you might want to answer it, Cliff. So he's confused. He thought it was the chamber, but it's actually Alaska Common Ground that is going to engage Gunnar Knapp as a moderator for the Prop 1 repeal the giveaway. When Gunnar recently put out a pro-industry study that has been highly criticized, aren't moderates supposed to be neutral folks? It's pretty clear that Gunnar has taken a side on the issue. Thanks.
I think there's a confusion there between people who have been the director of the Institute of Social Economic Research. I think that that question is actually directed at Scott Goldsmith,
right,
who was is also a professor of economics at ICER, a former director of ICER, now an emeritus professor at UAA, who has put out a very well-known study. He's affiliated with ICER, but
these are two different people.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
and I'm sorry, I would add this, that Professor Goldsmith has not taken a position on tax reform. He simply generated a fairly detailed report on the impacts of ACEs versus SB21. But he's made that very clear in all forums that he personally has not taken a position on ballot Measure 1.
Okay. So see how confusing it can get, and rumors can travel. So we got that cleared up. It's Gunnar Knapp. He's at the Anchorage Alaska Common Ground, and not to be confused with Scott Goldsmith, who Andrew points out has not taken a position, even though some people maybe are criticizing him for that. So I guess we've still got a little bit of time. I kind of want to ask you guys a little bit about, first of all, is there anything that you want to stress that you really want to get in front of the audience about these forums, or we can talk just generally?
Well, I guess what I'd say is sort of a variant of what somebody else said earlier in the show. I've heard for years, if you don't vote, you can't complain. But I guess for people who sometimes say, hey, I'm a little confused, I don't know which way I want to vote, here, you know, you've heard about multiple opportunities, over a half dozen laid out in front of you today, for people to learn more facts and understand the actual arguments by both sides in an extended forum to try to learn more, to help them decide and be better informed. So I'd urge people to take advantage of the opportunities. And in our case, Alaska Common Ground's forums are absolutely free and open to the public.
Yeah.
So I just think that people who are maybe sometimes inclined to bellyache at the coffee shop or at the grocery store or the post office or to their spouse, here's a chance to actually learn a little more.
Yeah. You know, you guys, you mentioned it's free. Have you considered snacks?
Well, we're going to try to have lunches at the October 4th forum that we would actually probably charge for, because that would run all day.
Yeah.
But on the ones on Wednesday
bring
nights,
your own snacks.
We're hoping that people will, have more.
Wait a minute. There's no food or drink allowed in the Wilder Marston Theater.
There you go.
Well, there
I just
go.
Saw the sign on the door last week.
Okay. Well, in the lobby then. You can have your snacks in the lobby. So I kind of wanted to ask you guys how you get up every day and fight this good fight for information. I mean, it can be discouraging. I mean, we talked about the environment being toxic. We see so much change in the media, maybe forums that you used to rely on. I mean, for example, there is no now endorsement of candidates in the new Alaska Dispatch Anchorage Daily News. And I don't know whether you think that was a good idea or a bad idea, but I've heard it debated out in the public. Some people saying, well, I'd like to know, and others saying, good, I didn't want to know what they thought anyway. So I kind of want to ask you about the sort of media environment we have and the encouragement of diversity of voices, but maybe no institutional voices coming forward. What do you think, Andrew?
I think, first off, I think if the Alaska Dispatch/Anchorage Daily News has gotten away from candidate endorsements, I don't think that's a bad thing. There always used to be kind of this joke about it was a mixed thing. So if you got endorsed, you might lose. but having said that, I think that the Dispatch Daily News could certainly, they've done some great candidate profiles, one on they're doing on the U.S. Senate candidates. I think more in-depth reporting on the races would give people a lot more information than simply endorsements. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to the reporting and then at the end product, the publishing. How much information do you give to people? And that's one of the things I really missed, because it seemed like 20 years ago, even for the municipal elections, there was a lot more candidate information in the press.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Cliff?
I guess I want to focus a little more on the broader question you ask, is how do people get up in the morning, or how do I get up in the morning and do this kind of thing? And I guess I'm often inspired by the examples that I saw as a little boy. I was born in the territory of Alaska. My parents were very active in the statehood movement. And sort of, it was a small group of people. The population of the entire territory of Alaska was pretty tiny.
Yeah.
And it became a state, worked very hard. And that attitude of we're all in this together and we can use collective action to improve our lives was a very inspirational thing to me that I saw when I was young. And I'd like to think that, and I believe that Alaska can get back more of that spirit if people try to learn more and try to understand more how things really work. And that would be a very good thing for the state and for all its people.
And one last sentence or two from you, Andrew.
I agree with Cliff. I think the reason why I get up and so excited is you can still make a difference in this community. Mm-hmm. And if you turn a couple of, turn out a couple of voters, or you can provide a forum that can educate a couple dozen people, that's something.
Right.
And so there is this hope that every day you can make a difference.
All right. So I want folks to know you can go to alaskapublic.org to find the dates for the forums, both for Alaska Common Ground and for the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. And they're going to start July 14th and go through October 4th, a full day on how Alaska is going to be funded in the future. So pretty impressive. I want to thank you both for coming and I think we had some pretty good questions. It's easy to see how people get confused rather quickly. so that's the value of these forums, to really lay them out. Be sure to check our website. We've also got links to Alaska Common Ground, links to the Anchorage Chamber, and its statements about advocacy, which I found very interesting, Andrew. I thought that might have been you doing that. So
guilty.
Yeah, guilty as charged. I'd really like to thank our guests for participating in this great forum discussion for this upcoming election season. I'd like to thank Cliff Groh, Chair of the Alaska Common Ground, Andrew Helcrow, President of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Next week on Hometown Alaska, we won't be here. Our team is taking a hiatus for the month of July to go fishing and enjoy other important summertime activities, and maybe go to these forums, I'm sure. So Charles Walford and I will be back in August with a new lineup of Hometown Alaska programs. Please connect with us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Alaska Public. Our website is alaskapublic.org. Pat Yak is Vice President of Public Media. Monica Gokey is our audio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.